You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Monday's racing on this edition. We've got races from Ludlow, Huntingdon and Kelso to bring you. You can join Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi in the William Hill Racing Radio studio on Monday afternoon to guide you through all three of those meetings. Sam Norris here on the podcast and joining me today, it's a warm welcome to John Budden. How are you, Your Lordship?
Yeah, I'm in very good shape, Sam. Delighted to be here.
Good stuff. The flat return as well this weekend, John. Are you, do you have a preference, flat or jumps?
Well, that's an interesting question, Sam. I've always been very excited by the jumps, but as far as the punting is concerned,
yes.
I've said for a long time, it's much better to punt on the flat. So from that point of view, I'm quite glad that the change is about to take place. I say about to take place because, you know, I really do feel that the turf season needs a bit of a more of a trumpet rather than a squib return. I know we had the Lincoln and we had one or two good, decent races yesterday. But it's quite ridiculous, for example, that the jockey's title and the trainer's title doesn't start until the Guineas.
Yes.
End it by all means on Champions Day, but you ought to start it with Doncaster, and that, you know, real blast on the trumpets for the flat racing to return. It used to be one of the great moments of the racing year, the opening of the flat race season at Doncaster on the turf. And, you know, the Brocklesby was always the first race. The Lincoln, of course, was great excitement. But there was a tremendous anticipation for it. We don't have that anymore. Partially because of, I think, pretty ridiculous change about the start of the title races, but also, of course, we'd have a lot of all-weather racing on the flat, which goes on day by day through the winter. So
yeah,
it's more or less just one of the same thing. However, it was a good day.
Yes, absolutely. We do sort of have that lull now until the next real big meeting on the turf. But as you mentioned, it was great racing on Townmore on Saturday, and it was a great day for Ryan Moore, and very nearly a very expensive day for our bosses, John. I think had he gone in the Lincoln, I think I'd have been out of house and home if he'd rattled off a four-timer.
Well, I certainly would be. I mean, gone forever.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that the Lincoln runner, which was only just beaten after all, was something like 12 to 1.
Yes, 12, 14s in the morning.
And down to 7 to 2. Yes, there must have been some sighs of relief in the powers that be areas, mustn't there? But it was a great performance by Ryan Moore. Now, you know, he started off with three winners and none of them count. I don't mind so much about they don't count towards the jockey's title. I don't mind something for Ryan Moore because, you know, he's A, earned plenty of money from the three which he got at Doncaster, and B, he's one of those jockeys who's likely to be away on important international racing for much of the time, and he's not really a competitor for the jockey's title. But I do feel sorry for chaps like Sylvester D'Souza, you know, who are not, I don't think, going to have any real group or classics successes and could well do with, you know, 20 or 30 winners in the bag before the actual Guineas Day arrives.
Yes, correct. I think Ryan Moore, again, is likely to be globetrotting this year. And not that he's not bothered about the jockey's title, but it's not top of his list of priorities, whereas someone like SDS, it probably is, because he'll be travelling up and down the country for the odd ride here at Wolverhampton, and then he'll be down to Kempton for an evening meeting there. And yeah, you're quite right, John. It clearly means a great deal to Sylvester D'Souza.
Well, I think so. You know, and it was quite an exciting battle in the end between Jim Crowley and Sylvester D'Souza last year. And I'd like to see that start right at the very beginning. But just sort of getting back to the Lincoln, it was an extremely good race.
Mm.
And I said at the time I thought bravery had gone under the radar.
Yes.
Except, of course, for Luke Elder, who napped the horse.
He just tell us about it, Jack?
Yes, I think he did. Well, well done to Luke Elder. It was a very, very good nap. And I say under the radar because, you know, bought for not all that much money.
Mm.
I think for 44,000.
44 grand.
Fortune for me.
But yes. And me, John.
Isn't, you know, not in far as racing terms, big horses on the flatness are not by any means the ceiling price.
Mm.
Bought for 44 grand from Aidan O'Brien, and it had run really decently for Aidan O'Brien, and yet I hadn't actually considered it. I did, which is a terrible thought.
Mm.
And with hindsight, you know, I thought that horse has gone very seriously under the radar. Disappointing run from Yufton, but then Roger Charlton's not got a good record at Doncaster, as Ollie Pimlott wisely said.
Yes, I mean, when you look, it's easy to say in hindsight, John, but Bravery is a horse who finished fourth in a Guineas, won a listed race at the Curragh, and was dropping back into handicap company, albeit it is a very hot handicap. But yeah, as you rightly point out, 44 grand purchase and has won best part of 62 grand yesterday. So he's very much paid his way already.
He has indeed, and he definitely under the radar because, as you pointed out, very good form and really it should have been noted because class horses tend to win the Lincoln.
Yes.
And I'd gone for class with Yufton and one or two others, and I hadn't gone with Bravery, and one should have realised that he had a very good chance on form passed in classy races. Good for David O'Meara.
Yeah, another great training performance by him because he's a horse stepping back in trip as well.
Yeah, I better call him David O'Meara. you know, last year was a bit of a tricky one because he'd moved yards to Wart Hill near York, a very much bigger yard. He had no experience of the gallops, and that often takes a bit of time to bed in. And I think he's probably done that. I thought Custom Cut, for example, ran extremely well in the race before. And Bravery winning the Lincoln would suggest that Mr. O'Meara's, you know, got the gallops and everything ready. And I would think he's very much a trainer to follow this season. And as for Danny Tudder, well, I've always said he's a top-class jockey, and he really proved it yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, the jump season isn't done with yet, John. We've got the Grand National upcoming on, a week on Saturday. Looking forward to the world's greatest steeplechase, as Wizard so often reminds me.
Yes, I am, Sam. It's going to be, you know, one or two people have copped that there's not a class contest. I do agree with that. I think it's going to be a tremendously competitive race and all kinds of possibilities. And I'm slightly intrigued by two. I went over it with the Wizard last night, and he's been doing podcasts, I know about it already. But the two horses, again, a bit like Bravery, who until last night had gone under the radar as far as I was concerned. Well, first of all, Vincenti.
Paul Nicholls?
Yes, Paul Nicholls. I think that horse could easily go well. Winner of the Scottish National. He's just coming into form. Spring horse. If it dries out too, that'll be in his favour. So he was just one of the horses that I thought had a very fair chance, Vincenti. And the other one is the horse that Ross Brierley reminded me about, and that is Black Lion.
Mm.
Now, I just feel that the race is made for Black Lion.
Yes.
The Wizard & Co. Carp, doesn't stay the trip. But I'm not so sure. I think he's a class horse, and, you know, he could be suited. So I've been very keen, of course, on the Cumbrian horse, Highland Lodge, 50-1, now bought by Mrs. Thompson.
Yes.
You know, and number of other ones, including the Scottish Hope. There's absolutely no reason why one for Arthur shouldn't go particularly well. It's not one for Arthur.
It is one for Arthur.
It is one for Arthur. Yes, I thought I got the name wrong.
Yeah.
And we did discover that he's definitely in good form on good ground. I do give him a chance. I'd love to see a Scottish winner. I backed the last Scottish winner of the Grand National, 1979 Rubstick, 33-1. Morris Barnes in the saddle.
All right.
There we are. It's going to be a very exciting race. But Black Lion and Vincenti, for me, under the radar.
Okay. Good stuff. We'll move on to look at some of Monday's racing. Now then, we've got four races picked out. It's an all jumps affair on Monday, and we start at Ludlow with the 2:30. It's a handicap chase here over just shy of 3 miles. A Class 3 event at the time of recording. We have seven runners down to go to post. Then the majority of these, John, proven at this trip of around about 3 miles.
Yes, they are. Well, one or two quite decent little horses are running at Ludlow today. I think the ground will be a bit better. I hope they will. Ludlow deserve to have plenty of runners and competitive racing. Excellent prize money there.
Definitely.
In this race, opening batsman, always been a favourite horse of mine, but seems to have lost the plot. So, he's just getting a little bit better, but I don't really think he'll win this. John Joe's horse is coming a bit to form, and we've got Campout King here in the race. John Joe O'Neill Jr. in the saddle. He's going to be quite a useful rider. Whether he'll be a chip off the old block has got to be seen, but I think he'd be a tremendous assistant to Dad in the stable, and probably is already. Then right at the bottom, there's According to Harry. Used to be with Philip Hobbs, who won for the last time with him at Worcester, and now with Nicky Martin, who's actually getting one or two winners, but According to Harry, hasn't run for really quite a long while. So that, by process of elimination, makes the winner by the Broadwalk. I like this horse. I've seen it win at Carlisle, but I think it was last season. Kim Bailey's horse is in very good form, and By the Broadwalk, I thought, ran promisingly at Taunton last time out, Sam. Beaten 11 lengths into fourth place. I don't think it's a great race, so By the Broadwalk is the choice.
By the Broadwalk gets the nod then in that 2:30 at Ludlow. We stay at Ludlow then for the next race on the podcast. This comes up an hour later, the 3:30. It is the Boyne Cup, a handicap chase over just about 2 miles, and 12.5 grand on offer to the winner, and again a field of seven lining up for it. John, what did you make of the race?
This is race, isn't it, with J.O. Time at top weight. J.O. Time fell last time out, hasn't been out for a while. I don't fancy him really. I worry about Deadly Approach. I think this is a horse very well suited to Ludlow, likes the front run, will be extra favoured if the ground dries out in time for tomorrow afternoon, a bit more than it is at the moment. Lord Ben has definitely got a chance on his second last time out at Hereford, but he doesn't win very often, and that brings us to the winner. If and But Why Not has to be considered for this race in a big way. He was a very, very decent handicap hurdler, If and But Why Not, then the handicapper got ready in charge of him, and he simply couldn't win handicap hurdles of any real value. As a chaser, he could be something really quite useful, even at his slightly late age. I thought he ran particularly well at Southall last time out. It's interesting that Tim Easterby has sent this horse down to Ludlow. It wouldn't be a track that the Easterbys go to very often. So If and But Why Not will be the choice.
If and But Why Not then for Tim Easterby and Richard Johnson in that Ludlow 3:30, the Boyne Cup. We move on to racing at Huntingdon now. We take in one race from Huntingdon. This is the 3:50 that we're looking at, a handicap hurdle over an extended mile and 7 furlong trip. We've got a field of 8 down to contest it, so we've at least got some each way angles, John, providing they all go to post.
Yes, not for me, but you are correct.
What's for you then here, John?
Yeah, well, Duke of Sonning's top weight, but I don't fancy him very much. He seems to have gone some way without winning. John Joe O'Neill, goodness gracious, he's got lots of runners running about. John Joe has on Monday. He's got Pillard here, who ran quite decently on the flat at Kempton last time out. Noel Feely in the saddle has to be, considered. Ben Pauling, another trainer in form, has got Alpine Secrets, but that's got to improve quite a bit. Bare Necessities has not been out for really quite a while. Was in fact favourite for a Utoxeter race when he did run, which was 547 days ago. So he's certainly coming back after a long absence. And the winner It could be with Tom Simmons, a political quiz. Again, I saw the horse win at Carlisle, and he did it jolly well. He stayed on strongly, and I spoke to the trainer after the race, and he said, this horse has been troubled by the handicapper, who hasn't really relented at all, and he's been written off by many people, but he's improving hand over fist. And if he is improving hand over fist, he should win here at Huntingdon. So political quiz is the choice.
Political quiz then for John in that 3:50 at Huntingdon. We get a Kelso for the final race then on the podcast. This is the 4:40, a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles here with 8 runners down to contest it. What do you like in the borders, John?
Yes, well, we've got Michael Scudamore. He's coming up to the borders quite often, you know, and he's got Monbeg Aqua Dude, and that was a fair winner of a pretty modest race, admittedly, at Force last time out. But when Michael sends the horses northwards to Kelso, you should always take just a little bit of attention to them. We have, however, got the Alexanders back in very good form indeed. And I have a feeling that another Matty, who I have been waiting to win for really quite a long time, and did win last time out, thank goodness, today, can follow up with winning again at Kelso. He's often run well here at Kelso in the past, still looks ahead of the handicap. And in quite a competitive little race, I'll go for Alexanders and another Matty.
Another Matty then gets the nod in that 4:40. Thank you for that, John. Just give us a quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, of your 4 selections on Monday.
Yes, well, we go to Ludlow for the 2:30 by the Broadwork. Kim Bailey is the choice there. In the 3:30, I am quite keen and will probably nap on If and But Why Not for Tim Easterby in the Boyne Cup. In the 3:50 at Huntington, the choice is Political Quiz. And up to Kelso for the 4:40, another Matty.
Excellent stuff. There we are, the thoughts of John Budden ahead of the racing on Monday. You can hear it all live on William Hills Racing Radio with Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Ludlow, Huntingdon and Kelso on the agenda. Thank you very much for that, John. Enjoy the action and best of luck.
Thank you very much, Sam. Will do.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.